Open your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Our sermon text this morning is Philippians chapter 3, looking at verses 12 through 16. We will continue our verse-by-verse exposition of Philippians. We've entitled this series, Be Joyful in Christ, because Paul tells us throughout the letter to be a people of joy. As we have Christ. And we'll look at chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Let me remind you, dear church, that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So may we approach the reading of His Word with reverence and awe. Paul says this, chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Father, we ask that you would grant unto us eyes to see and ears to hear. And this we pray, Lord, in Christ's name, and by your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul loved using athletic imagery to describe the Christian life. For example, in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he uses a boxing metaphor. He says, I do not box as one who beats the air. In Ephesians 6:12, he uses a wrestling imagery. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood in our spiritual battle. In 1 Timothy 6:12, he uses a fighting analogy. He says, we are to fight the good fight. But probably Paul's favorite sports analogy was that of a runner. He loved likening the Christian life to that of a runner. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. And then in Galatians 2:2, he says, I want to make sure that I was not running or had run in vain. And today, in verses 12 through 16, our passage this morning, Paul once more likens following Christ to a race. Notice verse 12, he talks about pressing on. In verse 13, he mentions straining forward. In verse 14, he talks about the goal or the prize. So he's comparing the Christian life to a race. He's liking it to running. The title of our sermon this morning is Press on. Press on. And maybe you want to quit midway through the Christian life. Maybe you're becoming slack in your sanctification. Maybe you've been undisciplined in your Bible reading. Maybe you're giving a half-hearted effort in your prayer life. Maybe you've been careless in your church attendance. Or maybe you're just tired and worn out from all the burdens and the cares of this life. Well, Paul tells us this morning to press on. He tells us to keep going. He says you can't slow down. You can't stop and take a stroll. You can't sit down in the middle of the track. Rather, Paul tells us you got to stand up, and you must keep straining forward as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at five headings as we strive to press on in the Christian life. And Paul will tell us we have to strain forward toward Christ's likeness in our lives. I want you to see first an honest evaluation. An honest evaluation. Look at the first half of verse 12 for this point. Paul says, verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect." So in short, Paul is evaluating, or he's assessing his life, and he's saying, I still need to make progress as a Christian. In fact, he very clearly says, verse 12, I'm not already perfect. So I think Paul's being very humble. He's being very honest here. Now, when Paul says, not that I've already obtained this, what is this? What does this refer to there in verse 12? Well, I think the word this points us back to the previous context, verses 10 and 11, which we looked at last week. What did Paul say? Verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So, as we discussed last week, verse 11 is about Paul's final glorification, when he would go to heaven and be free from sin. And so in verse 12, our text this morning, Paul is saying, I have not yet reached my final glorification. He's saying, I've not yet reached the final resurrection mentioned in verse 11. So he realizes that he's still involved in the struggles of this life. He admits he still sins. He knows that he's still being sanctified. So in verse 12, Paul is reasoning. He's saying, I still have more work to do as I seek to grow as a disciple. He's saying, I need to continue to improve my spiritual condition. He's saying, I'm not perfect. I have not yet reached heaven. I think this is very humble of the Apostle Paul to admit this. It's very honest. Because after all, Paul was probably the most holy person in the Bible, apart from Christ. He's probably the greatest Christian who's ever lived, apart from the Lord Jesus. So here's one lesson that we can take from verse 12. One point of application. We can always grow more and more as followers of Christ. We can always grow more and more as followers of Christ. We never arrive at perfection in this life. You and I, we never come to a point in our Christian walk where we don't need to pursue sanctification again and again and again. As the Shorter Catechism says, we must continually die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And we're to do that over and over and over again. You know, as a pastor, as a preacher, every time I think I've reached a pretty high level of holiness, God humbles me. He humbles me. He shows me plenty of areas that I can grow in. He shows me countless ways that I can do better in my spiritual development. I'm sure we could all say that if we evaluated our own sanctification, right? We could all sin less and love others more, right? We could all watch TV less and spend more time reading the Bible. We could all worry less and pray more. Believe me, we all can become more like the Lord Jesus than we presently are. Here's another lesson we can take from verse 12. We should never become complacent or content in our sanctification. We should never become complacent or content in our holiness. Because when that happens, you don't see any need to mature in your life. You don't see any need to make progress. And when that happens, we become insensitive to sin and we become blind to our own spiritual weaknesses. So we don't ever want to plateau in our pursuit of Christ. We don't ever want to become hampered or hindered in our holiness. In fact, what does Jesus say over in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6? He says, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness. So we must continually hunger and thirst for righteousness. And only those who see the need to eliminate sin in their lives and to cultivate holiness are the ones who make progress in their walk with Christ. One more comment here on verse 12. I think verse 12 puts to rest the teaching out there called Christian perfectionism. I don't know if you've heard of this teaching, Christian perfectionism, or sometimes just perfectionism. But the rough idea is that you can become perfect in this life. It's the teaching that you can become perfectly sanctified in this life. And a lot of non-Reformed denominations teach perfectionism. But I think verse 12 clearly proves it wrong. Paul says what? Not that I am already perfect. So he's saying we can't be perfect, but God does expect us to make progress as believers. That's a good way to think about verse 12. We can't be perfect, but we do have to make progress as disciples of Christ. Second, I want you to see a holy aspiration. So we looked at the first half of verse 12, and now we'll look at the second half. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. And here's the part I want you to note. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The word press on is an athletic term. It was used back in this time of a sprinter or a runner. And the word press on, it means to run swiftly after something. It's to sprint for the purpose of catching something. So picture Usain Bolt. Remember the world-class Jamaican sprinter. If you've ever watched him sprint on TV, every muscle in his body is working to win the race. Or you think about a running back. He's using every bit of strength and stamina to escape a big offensive line or defensive lineman. So you think about a runner. Any good runner will widen his stride. He'll pump his arms. He'll accelerate his legs. And he'll push his chest out to win the race. So I think Paul's saying here in verse 12, he's saying, look, I'm not perfect in this Christian race, but I've got a holy aspiration to keep pursuing Christ. The argument is that I've not reached my final glorification, but Paul's saying, I'm going to exert maximal effort to grow as a believer. He's saying, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to press on. And I hope that's you today. I hope that's you. I hope you are straining every spiritual muscle as you chase after Christ. I hope that your stride is widening. I hope that you're pumping your arms, that you're accelerating your legs, that you're sticking your chest out to pursue Christ. You and I, we need to run as fast as our little spiritual legs will take us as we follow the Lord Jesus. That's what Paul means there with the word press on. So forget what everybody else is doing in the world. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. You just flee toward Christ. Dump the devil, make a mad dash toward Christ. Sprint toward the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. So I would ask you this morning, are you keeping pace with Paul? Are you pursuing and pressing on in the race that we call the Christian life? Are you giving it all you've got? Are you exerting maximal effort to grow in Christ's likeness? Are you expending every ounce of energy to mature as a disciple? I want you to listen to Hebrews 12:1, a really important passage. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now notice that last clause in verse 12, that last line. Paul says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What does that mean? What is Paul saying? I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. Well, he's saying, I pursue Christ because Christ first pursued me. He's saying, I love Christ because Christ first loved me. I chase after Christ because Christ first chased me down. In other words, we don't go looking for God. God comes looking for us. Our pursuit of Christ is preceded by his pursuit of us. So Paul says in verse 12, I make it my own, this race, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Third, verse 13 gives us a hearty determination. A hearty determination. As we examine verse 13, I want you to notice, I want you to pay careful attention to Paul's determination to press on. I want you to see his dedication, his grit, his fortitude, his resolve, his tenacity, his steadfastness, and his single-mindedness in following Christ. Look at verse 13. Notice this language he uses. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own." So once again, he admits he's not perfect. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Let me ask you, about how old is the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter? What's his rough age? Well, he's probably early to mid-60s. So by this point in his career, he's been preaching the gospel and planting churches and being a missionary and an evangelist for about 30 years. He's been at it for almost 3 decades. But even though he's not a spring chicken anymore, this man has determination. He's got gospel grit even for his age. May the same thing be true of us, right? Whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, you're going to have to have determination to press on in the Christian life. Whether you're young age, middle age, or old age, you're going to have determination to keep fighting in the race. Now, in verse 13, Paul says two things in particular, about his hardy determination. Two things. He says he forgets his past, and he says he strains forward toward what's to come. So notice, he forgets his past. Verse 13. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." The word "forget," it means to cast something aside. It's to not allow something to weigh you down. The word "forget," it means to no longer remember something. It's to dwell on something no more in your heart. So Paul's saying, I'm not going to let anything in my past hinder me from pressing on in Christ. He's saying nothing in my past is going to distract me from my pursuit of the Lord. And again, the same thing needs to be true for us today. You and I, we don't want to be paralyzed by past mistakes or failures that we've committed. We don't want to be crippled or crushed by sins and things that we've done in the past. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you are shackled by some past sin that you've committed. Maybe you're living in despair because of some mistake you've made months ago, years ago, decades ago. Maybe you're devoured with guilt because something that's happened to you in your past, a sin, a decision you've made, a mistake that you've committed. Well, I would say to you, if you're in Christ, Christ has covered all your sins. He's covered all your sins. His blood has perfectly atoned for it all. He's got you covered in your past, your present, and your future. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In other words, you can learn from your past, but you don't want to live in the past. Yes, learn from past sins, learn from past mistakes and past failures, but don't live there, because if you live in the past, you're not going to make progress. You'll just be stuck in the past. It's going to stymie your sanctification, and it will stunt your spiritual growth. Notice next how Paul strains towards the future. So he forgets his past. He also says he strains towards the future. Verse 13. "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." The word "strain" in verse 13, it means to stretch. It's to propel yourself forward. The word "strain," it pictures a runner who would strain every spiritual muscle toward the finish line. Really, it means to put forth maximal effort to finish a race. In other words, if you live in the past, you're going to be stopped from straining forward. It's kind of like how you can't really drive a car if you're looking in a rearview mirror, right? Or I guess to be more modern, you can't drive the car if you're looking in the backup camera. So Paul's saying you got to press on in the Christian life as you mature as a believer. You got to forget what lies behind, and you've got to do your duty to strain forward as you grow as a believer, straining forward to what lies ahead. It's like Winston Churchill's famous speech back during World War II. England was at war with Nazi Germany, and the country deeply needed to persevere in a time of hardship. So Churchill gave his famous speech, and he said, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never." Well, so it is in the Christian life. If you're going to keep pace, you're going to have a hearty determination as you strain forward. Now, fourth, I want you to see Paul's heavenly inclination. So we've seen his honest evaluation, his holy aspiration, his hearty determination, and now I want you to see his heavenly inclination. And I see this in verse 14. Verse 14. He says, "I press on," the same word back up in verse 12. "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, back in this time, back in Paul's day, when you won a sporting event, you would go forward to receive your prize. You'd come up on a stage to get your reward. And they called it literally the upward call. The upward call. And so you'd be called upward to this platform to receive your reward that would be handed out. So Paul uses this sports image in verse 14, and he says, "I'm looking forward to the upward call in Christ." I think he's saying, "I'm striving for the day when God calls me forward." And in short, I think Paul's talking about heaven. When God calls him home to heaven to be with him and the Lord Jesus. The prize of the upward call in Christ, it's when we're all going to be ushered into the Lord's presence. It's when we cross the threshold of heaven. Over in 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, that's right before Paul is beheaded near the Mamertine prison. He pumps his fist in the air like a runner, and he says this, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So, church, we have to know, one day the Lord Jesus is going to return. He will return. There's going to be a big platform, so to speak. Well, Christ will sit on this platform, on this judgment seat, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. And you will either receive the downward call to hell, where you will face God's wrath and judgment, or you can receive this upward call to heaven. That's what Paul is talking about. We'll experience blessing and eternal life with the Lord. But until that day comes, until Christ takes you home or he comes back, you have to press on. You have to keep going. You have to be heavenly minded like Paul. You have to be heavenly focused, heavenly inclined, as we've stated in this point. It's like the story of two runners, John Landy and Roger Bannister. Landy and Bannister, they were two of the greatest runners back in the 1950s and 60s. And they actually raced each other in the 1954 British Empire Games. It's probably one of the most famous races of all times. It's often called the Miracle Mile. Well, John Landy was about to win the race. He was clearly in the lead. And as he neared the finish line, he looked back over his left shoulder to see if he could locate Bannister. Well, when Landy looked left over his left shoulder, that caused him to break stride. And he lost a fraction of a second. As he looked left, Bannister passed him on the right. And it was Bannister and not Landy who won the race. And that image, Landy looking left, Bannister passing him on the right, it's a remarkable picture. One of my favorite images in all of sports history. And you should Google it if you get the chance. But that picture is a great metaphor for the Christian life. If you look back, you can't look forward. If you look back at past failures, past sins, past mistakes, you're not going to go forward. And you certainly won't be heavenly minded, as Paul is talking about here. You won't be heavenly inclined. Again, I would impress upon you Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." I would also point you to Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, our call to worship this morning. Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Fifth and finally, we have Paul's humble exhortation, verse 15 and 16. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. That is everything that's come before. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. So Paul gives us two exhortations, two commands. There's one in verse 15, there's one in verse 16. What's the first exhortation? What's he say? He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. The mature, that refers to Christians who are mature in their faith. This is believers who are mature in their walk with the Lord. Again, we can't be perfect, but God does expect us to be mature believers. Now, when Paul says, let those of us who are mature think this way, what is this way? What's he mean that we're to think this way? Well, that's everything in verses 12 through 14 about how we're to strive for holiness. It's everything up to this point about how we're to press on in our sanctification. That's what mature believers do. We realize that we have to keep pressing on as we follow Christ. And when Paul says, if you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you, he's saying this. If you don't see your need to continue to grow as a Christian, God will show you. God will humble you if you think you've arrived in your sanctification. Paul's saying, God will reveal to you where you are falling short in your relationship to Christ. He's going to expose your faults. He will show you where you need to grow more. Again, there's always more of the Bible for us to learn, right? There's always more time we could spend in prayer. There's always more we could do to serve others. There's always more spiritual disciplines for us to implement in our lives. That's the first exhortation. What's the second one? Verse 16. He says, only let us hold true to what we've attained. Or I like how the NIV states it. It says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. So I think Paul's saying, at a very minimum, don't lose what you've got. Don't lose what you've got. Whatever level of holiness or maturity that you've reached, don't lose that. Don't revert backwards. Don't backslide. So I think verse 16, it's a call to consistency. We have to grow, yes, but we don't want to lose the progress that we've made as believers. Paul has told us this morning about pressing on in the Christian life. Maybe it's a message you need to hear. You need to be spurred on to holiness and keep pressing on as you pursue the Lord Jesus. You got to press on your sanctification. You're going to have to press on your Bible reading. You got to press on your church attendance. You got to press on your prayer life. Maybe you need to press on as you go through a season of difficulty or hardship in your life. There's a story I heard about a man who died trying to climb the Swiss Alps. It was his life's goal to ascend the Swiss Alps. Unfortunately, he never made it to the top, and he fell, and he died while he was climbing. So the authorities put up a placard honoring the man, which says, he died climbing. They put his name on the marker and the words, he died climbing. I think in a very real sense, that's the story of every Christian, right? We all must die, but we must die climbing the upward path toward the prize of Christ-likeness. Well, let's pray together.